You remember at the beginning of this chapter, Paul declares the gospel of Jesus Christ. He states it very, very simply. He said, Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day. So Paul attested the fact that the people in Corinth believed that. He says, right at the beginning of the chapter, I preach to you this gospel in which you stand and by which you are saved. So, having conclusively stated the resurrection and the eyewitness proof of the resurrection, he does that in the opening verses. Now he's going to deal with, well, you might call it a provocative issue on the part of many in the church of Corinth. Now, before I get into that issue exactly, I'm just going to ask a couple of questions that and see how the church of Corinth did. The first question is, what does the resurrection mean for the people who put their trust in Jesus Christ? Well, if you ask the church of Corinth, they would tell you that the resurrection means that sin, their sin, has been forgiven. You might call the resurrection a receipt for forgiven sins. That's why Jesus died. He took his sin perfectly upon himself and paid the price for it. The Bible says that he who knew no sin became sin for us. Now, how do we know that that sin has been forgiven? Well, one reason we know is because he came back, and his resurrection is our receipt. The church in Corinth believed that their sins were forgiven. Secondly, because your sin has been forgiven, you've been given a new start. You are now God's friend. He's going to help you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to strengthen you in the inner man. He's going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. I think the church in Corinth believed that as well. Now, they had some problems, and they were off into, things of the Spirit that kind of got carried away. And yet I think they understood the significance of their relationship with Jesus, and that indeed they had been granted these new things, that they were a blessing. Now, the third thing is, and this belief is directly tied to the resurrection, and that belief is, I will one day be with the Lord in a new resurrection body. Guess what? They didn't believe that. It's right here in verse 12. It says, now if Christ is preached that he has been raised again from the dead, how do some of you among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? This church, who had experienced a dynamic new birth in Christ, new relationship with Jesus, they didn't believe in the resurrection. Now, let me clarify it. They believed that Jesus rose from the dead, but they didn't believe that they would rise from the dead. And apparently, that belief was based on having been, raised in a Greek culture which believed in the Greek gods, and the idea was just drummed into them that, you'll live forever. You just won't live in this present body. And so people believed that, they would live after death, but they wouldn't live in a new body, a resurrection body. And so Paul, that's the heart of Christianity. And he wants to get these people on a belief system that understands what the resurrection is really all about. So he goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 15, he says this. Now, if Christ has preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some of you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. It's empty. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. So Paul is, he's thinking, what's wrong with you folks? You don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead and that because he has risen from the dead, you who believe in Jesus Christ will rise as well? And so this chapter is a chapter that is that seeks to instruct the people concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, he goes on to say he says in verse 20, but now Christ has risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Now, there was actually a Jewish feast called the Feast of First Fruits. And it just so happened that when Jesus arose, he arose on the day that that feast was celebrated. And he arose on that day. You know, it was no coincidence. It was ordained by God. This feast that they had every year to celebrate, what it celebrated was the coming harvest. You know, we're not farmers, at least most of us aren't, but if we were, we would know that as you plant a crop, there is a remnant of that crop that comes up early, and the rest of the crop follows suit. But they had these first fruits, these fruits that came up early, and the priest would actually hold these up to the Lord and say, wow, thank you, Lord, this means the rest of the feast is coming. At least we're believing that by faith. And they would actually have a feast, and they would celebrate the Feast of First Fruits. Now, when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was God's assurance that to us that we will be raised one day as well as part of that future harvest. It says in verse 21, for since by men came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Now, Paul goes on to offer proofs for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what this chapter is all about. But I want to jump over to verse 35, where Paul asks this question. He says, but someone will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Now, Paul was, well, we know that Paul wrote in other passages of the second return of Jesus Christ, and he wrote that Jesus would return, and he would return with his saints, and they would come back to usher in this 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. And so he says, with what body do they come? That is, the believers in Jesus Christ. Just by way of imagination, if that celebration is to take place, say, let's say 37 years from now, and I came back, I'd probably be in a wheelchair. No, maybe I'd be on a stretcher and they'd be pushing me. You know, I mean, I'd be 37 years from now, I'd be over 100. And so, you know, it's a good question, isn't it? You know, how are the dead raised up and with what body do they come? When they come back, and I say they, when those of us that know Jesus Christ come back with him, what are we going to look like? What kind of body are we going to have? Well, I think as we get into this, the first thing that we need to say is the real me is not what you're looking at. The real me is spirit. The real me is spirit. The Bible calls this present body a tent. I'm living in this tent for a relatively short time. This present body will pass away. And as we get older, we become painfully aware of the fact that these bodies are wearing out. You know, back when Adam was first created, Adam lived over 900 years in the early stages of creation. People lived for a long time. If we live to be 80 years old, of course, by the time we get to be 80, if we're still alive, we want to live a little bit longer. So maybe we live to be at 85, and then, you know, things are really falling apart, and we're saying, I don't know. We still want to live, but the older we get, the less we're able to do, and the more we want to, is there anything else going on? Is there anything else that I need to be ready for? And of course, as Christians, we know that when we die, it's this outer tent that dies. The real me goes to be with the Lord. And furthermore, the real me is going to receive a new body, a brand new body. And Paul gets into that. You know, he talks about the fact that though this body is gone, though this body is dissolved, I mean, when the spirit is taken out, you know, what is the body needed for? It's not needed for anything. And so it came from dust, and what does it do? It eventually turns into dust. So we want to know, how is this body raised up? And so Paul tells us that in verse 38, he says, but God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each a seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. Here's what Paul is saying. We have these different kinds of flesh, but God has designed our bodies to be raised again. But it's not going to be raised up in its present form. It's not going to, I'm not going to come back here old and wobbling and, barely able to talk and barely able to walk. I'm coming back here a brand new man with a brand new body. And so Paul is going to get into that, and he uses the analogy of a seed. He tells us that what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. You sow the seed, but you don't sow the body that shall be. And we understand that in terms of how gardening works. Gardening. Maybe we do it in our garden. I mean, this is done on a huge agricultural basis. We put the seed in the ground. And that seed, you know, it may not look like much, but what comes up is tremendous. Particularly, you know, we're at home, we take this carnation seed, we plant it in the ground, the seed's not that impressive, but the carnation is, it's beautiful. And we think, wow, you know, what's the deal here? From that relatively ugly seed comes this beautiful flower. Well, we know that in that seed is the DNA of the flower, and you know, as the seed dies, the flower begins to grow, and we have this beautiful flower, or whatever the seed is to grow. You know, it might be corn, it might be some other kind of crop, it might be some kind of flower, but Paul uses that analogy, and he says, it's the same with us. We are planted in the ground, so to speak, and our body is the seed, and out of that body comes this glorious body that is in the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ, meaning that we are going to be like Christ when we are, you know, when we are resurrected. In 1 John 3:2, you remember John was talking and he said, "Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." So that's the great hope that we have, those of us that know Jesus Christ. Yeah, we will pass away, and you know, as we get older, we become aware of that fact. We, you know, the things that I could do really well, I could, you know, I could hop up a ladder, be on a roof, help put the roof on the roof. You know, we re-roofed the not the building that we're in presently, but the Sunday school building. You know, I think of all of the things that, you know, I've done, and it was just a matter of routine. You just went out and did it. Not anymore, you know. You go up that ladder very cautiously. But, you know, the Bible says that when we die, our bodies will be planted in the ground, and that God is going to bring forth something from that seed that is very much like the body of Jesus Christ. It says we'll still be known. You know, I suppose that when I, you know, when I get my new body, if I have any requests that I can make, you know, is there anything that you'd like to change? I'd probably tell them, I'd like to be a few inches taller. You know, if you could make me about 6 foot, that would be great. But we'll be recognizable. People will know us. You remember when Jesus, you know, had that experience where he was transfigured before his disciples, and Moses and Elijah came by, and his disciples knew who they were. They who knew those two men. They recognized them, and so we will be known as well. We will have that that new body, but in the midst of that brand new body, there'll be that likeness of who we were when we were here on earth. And I would imagine that it's, you know, it'll go back to when we were the best looking, you know, when we were in our 20s or 30s or something like that. But Paul goes on to say, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. I'm in my natural body now, but one day I am going to be raised up, and I am going to be in a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. Now, that's where this body comes from, in a sense. You know, I'm this body traces its being back to the first Adam. But my second body is going to come from the last Adam. Who's the last Adam? Jesus Christ, and I will become a life-giving spirit. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man, notice man is capitalized, is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, that's what you see right now, we also shall bear the image of the heavenly man. So one day I'll have the very image of the Lord. And this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. Now, before we get to this mystery, let me just say that we have to go to heaven. And, you know, heaven, in effect, is wherever the Lord is. There is a specific place called heaven, but my new body will be able to accompany the Lord wherever he goes in the universe. I can't do that now. If I, you know, I'd have to put on some kind of pressure suit. Why a pressure suit? Because, you know, there's what is it, 14.3 pounds of pressure pressing against me. That's the force of gravity. But when I get out of this particular zone, when I get out of this atmosphere, you know, I have to have a pressure suit on to hold everything in place, because if I don't, you know, that force that is pressing out will press my eyeballs out. My eyeballs will be down on my cheeks, and so you know, I'm limited to this particular mode of being right now here on earth. But my new body will be able to go anywhere, and it will be a body that is not of flesh and blood, but it will be a body that God has custom designed so that I can just hang out with the Lord and go wherever the Lord goes. Now, he goes on to say, it's an interesting passage. He says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So there is coming that day. And personally, I don't think that day is a long way off. There is coming a day when the Lord will return, and those of us that are still alive will be caught up with him in the air. And at that moment, we'll get our new bodies, our incorruptible bodies, our bodies that are in the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. Fortunately, my sin has been forgiven. And that's why I'm going to get that new body. And the strength of sin is the law. I'm not under the old law. I'm under the new law of God. It's written in my heart. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the church of Corinth, they needed to understand about the resurrection. They needed to understand that one day they would get this brand new body. One day they would be with the Lord. One day they would come back with the Lord to serve him and to be his emissaries in this wonderful kingdom that he is going to institute. So, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And as you abound in the work of the Lord, you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There are times when, you know, sometimes we think, man, is anybody paying any attention? Is the Lord watching? Yeah, he's watching. And there is going to be a day when our name will be called. And we'll either go there by way of death, or we'll get there by way of the rapture. But whatever way we get there, we're going to rejoice. And I was talking to some brothers today between services, and we were two of them were my age, and two of them were much younger, and we were just laughing about the fact, particularly the two older ones, how, you know, after you pass a certain age, I don't know precisely what age it is, maybe it's 55, maybe it's 60, all of a sudden, you know, things start moving real fast. The year that, you know, that seemed to drag by so slowly is now rushing by. Of course, one of the brothers, they had an interesting explanation. He said, well, don't you understand, John, that when you're 10 years old, a year is a tenth of your life? When you're your age, he said, you know, a year could be as much, I'm not saying my age, I'm just going to say, a year could be as much as 1/70th of your life. So, it's a big difference. But all that to say is that one day, we are going to be with the Lord. But we're not going to be floating around. We're going to be in a brand new body. And that body is going to be a body that is, I say, a blessing. Wow. It's going to be a body that never dies. It's going to be a body like the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's going to be a body where we'll be able to do things for the Lord that we can't do now. It's going to be a huge blessing. So we look forward to that body. We look forward to all that God has yet designed for us to receive in him. Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning. And we thank you, Lord, that one day we will be with you, but we'll not be without our new bodies. We'll have bodies that are custom made, and they're designed for all eternity. And Lord, we're so grateful that you've made that provision for us. And I pray, Lord, that we would be a church that is steadfast, that we're immovable, that we're always abounding in the work of the Lord. Would you help us? And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. Well, that's my word to you this morning. Be steadfast. Be immovable. And don't let those earthly things get in the way of always abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen.
Spirit.